today. I had spent 2 days at the chapel in class with Dr. Jerry Gillis and his team, Dr. Dwight Smith. What an amazing group of leaders, and I was just so blessed to sit under the teaching and the wisdom. And as I drove in this morning, I'm not sure why the story in 2 Kings 13 came to me, but it kind of became more clear to me tonight. In this story, this young king, his father dies, and he's in a place of vulnerability. You ever been there? I'm the only one, I guess. He's in this place of vulnerability. He's in this place of a moment of crushing. He's in this place where he's being attacked on more than one front. You ever been attacked? It wasn't just an attack at work. It was an attack in your finances. It was an attack in your home. It was an attack. You got these little wars breaking out all the way around you, and you're thinking, what in the world? What did I do? That's what you're thinking, right? A lot of times when trouble comes, we just talked about it on Sunday, we're really not conscious in the moment enough to say, what is God showing us? We just begin to kind of murmur, and we become discouraged. Some of us become depressed. There's many people in the month of February that I talked to that were extremely depressed. And if you're one of those people, I'm glad you're in the Lord's house tonight. I don't say that in a condemning way. It's a reality. Many people are. And there's this young king. He's being attacked, and it's just a tough moment. And he goes in to see the man of God. How many of you know it's a good idea when you're going through a difficult moment, you're going through a difficult time, is to go and see someone that won't tell you everything you want to hear? How many of you know that there's friends in life that they'll just be kind of your they'll be kind of your back rub buddy? They'll just tell you everything you want to hear, and yeah, you're the greatest thing in the world, and kind of send you on your way. How many of you got friends like that? I got a few like that. But sometimes when you're in the face of enormous obstacles, you need someone to look you square in the eyes and bring you back from emotion and center you on who Christ is. And they're having this dialogue. They're having this moment. You can go back and read the story and take with it, from it what you will. But this is what I've taken from the story, and I've shared on it before, I think over at St. Anthony's. But he begins to have this dialogue, and the man of God, the prophet, begins to tell him. He says, let me back up a minute. 2 weeks ago, my son played a basketball game. Ryan was playing basketball, and after the basketball game, my wife said this comment. She says, you'll miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And so you can be in a moment of... You can be in a moment of difficulty. You can, the team can be stronger than you. Your opposition can be stronger than you are. And if you have the right voice, if you have the right mind about you, you can overcome it. So what I'm trying to say is, just because your opposition looks like it's greater than you are, it might be greater than you are, but it's not greater than the voice is. How many of you know whose voice I'm talking about? So the man of God's there. He's having this conversation with this young man, this young leader, if I may. And he's having this conversation. He begins to tell him this. You gotta shoot. And it's actually, it uses that word, which I thought was funny as I thought about that story. The Lord just, I don't know why, but I didn't know why, but I'm getting to it. And he uses that word, shoot, like Sam did with Ryan. Shoot the ball, shoot the ball. If you don't shoot the ball, you can't make the basket. And this prophet begins to tell this king, you got to draw back your arrow and shoot. So he does it. He shoots. It's a It's a wonderful moment, but he stops him at the end of it, and he says something that I love so much. He basically says to him, why'd you stop? Why'd you only shoot three times? Why did you limit what I could have done? And it actually says in the story, and again, go back and read it later, that he could have won more battles had he shot the arrow more times. What are you getting at tonight, Ryan? Here's what I'm getting at. There are people in this room that you've never seen the victory that you could see because you never took the shot. You never tithe long enough to see God work something in your own life. You did it. You pulled one out and you won just one battle. You tithe 3 months and you won three battles. You didn't recognize that the victory that came wasn't by coincidence. It was because of the sovereign hand of God. And the trouble with that is the Bible says, if you're faithful with the little, he'll make you ruler over much. And I think people, so many times, I think what the prophet was telling the young king, I think what Sam was telling my son, I think what the Holy Spirit was telling me, and I have no idea why. My dad, we talk all the time. My dad will say to me sometimes now, I love you, but this is your daddy talking to you. You take a lot of risk, Ryan. Why don't you pull it back just a little bit? But I felt the Holy Spirit so strongly tonight and today as I drove home, just pull it back just one more time. And I want to speak to someone who's lived in poverty. You've lived in a state of just enough. You've lived in a state of a couple victories and then you drop off again. I want to tell you tonight, even if you're watching at home, don't give one time. Don't give two times. Don't give three times. And then, I really don't see the difference. Recognize the victories that God gives you. There's nothing worse than when you help someone, when you bless someone, when you give to someone, and they don't even say thank you. There's nothing worse than that in the flesh. When you help someone, you wrote them a recommendation. You wrote them a letter of recommendation. You helped them counsel their kids. You minister to them, and things get better, and things get, things are healed up, and then all of a sudden you don't hear from them anymore. That is that sense of, that is our fleshly, that's our carnality that just says, that really didn't make any difference. It was me all along. What they said didn't matter. And the same thing is true with God. When he blesses you, man, I'll tell you, I got a new revelation on this when I was sick. I had COVID for 2 weeks. Sick is a dog. I mean, sick. And we begin to cry out to the Lord. And the day we begin to cry out to the Lord, the battle shifted. And I started feeling better. A week went by, got up here and preached. And I felt the Holy Spirit like never before. And then I started having these crazy stomach pains. I went to the doctor, had blood work done. And the doctor said, you got a fatty liver and your gallbladder's goofy and this and that. And I was like, what the heck is going on? I began to thank the Lord for the healing he gave me. And all of a sudden, I told Sam, where'd it go? It's gone all of a sudden. Don't discount what God does. Don't ignore it. Don't look by it. Commit to, I'm going to pull back the bow one more time. I'm going to pull back the bow one more time. And you're giving. You don't know all the blessings that have come. I don't even want to preach the tithe anymore. You want to know what I want to preach? Stewardship. When God does something to you, be thankful. Have an attitude of gratitude and watch a breakthrough. And let me just say this to you. I'll say this. If you're looking for a miracle and you're not a giver, just try it. Just try it. Watch and see what happens. Watch the miracle that you've been praying for take place if you become a covenant partner with Jesus Christ. Do you receive that tonight? Let's pray together. If you need to text, all the ways to give are up on the screen. If you need to text, text. If you need to go on PushPay, listen, let me Don't come up yet because I want to say one more thing. I'm not ready for you yet. No, I want to say one more thing. If you can't remember, how many of you have trouble remembering? Okay. Dad put both arms up and both feet. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Go on PushPay and make it a reoccurring gift. Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate you because that's what I do. And you're welcome to check with the ladies. Everything that I'm saying, I practice. You can go check it. They're welcome to see I'm a giver. Okay, ladies? You're more than welcome to go and check my giving. Okay? Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you tonight that you're teaching this place stewardship. Not only the stewardship of finances, but the stewardship of lives. We realize that our lives and others' lives depend on it. Thank you tonight, Father, for the gift of your Holy Spirit in this place. We accept it. We embrace it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. That story, hold on. That story of the prophet telling the king, pull back that bowl. This is why it came to my mind. Never heard it in class. Haven't read it. We're not in 2 Kings. I haven't seen it in a devotional. This is what the Lord told me. The Lord told me, Sam, man, these mics are filled with the devil lately, aren't they? The Lord told me to tell you, and I was going to do it at home later, but I'm going to do it right now, to tell you that to keep pulling back the bow. That you've been willing, you told the Lord, whatever you have for me, I'll do it. I'm not comfortable. But the Lord said, just keep pulling back the bow. And every time you pull back the bow, the more you pull it back, I'll give you victory after victory after victory. And it wasn't what the king did. It was what God did through the king. Would you welcome my favorite preacher, my wife, Samantha, to the... Hello, it's the Holy Ghost.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Good to see everybody that's here. I just want to say how honored I am to be here with all of you tonight. And I don't take this lightly. If any of you really know me, you know that I don't. But it's I honor my pastors, my father-in-law, obviously, and Ryan and Aaron for the opportunity to be up here with you tonight. And not just for our pastors, but I look out here and I see all the women that are out here that have texted me and that have prayed with me and for me and encouraged me. There's many of you that aren't here, too, that you'll never know how much that means to me. So I was driving on Tuesday and I was praying, like, God, I still don't have a title for this message. You have to give me one because I have to give it to Erin and she has to put it with Polly on the backdrop and everything. So I'm praying, like, faithfully, specifically, I need a title. And Ryan calls me. And I just love that because I'm like, it's God. He's working. I know this is his plan. So I told him I was praying to God for a title, and you called me. And he thought I said that the title God gave me was you called me. And I'm like, I had to stop for a second. Okay, all right. So that was the answer to what I was looking for. So the title of my message that God gave to me is We Are Called. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful night and our family all gathered here together, Lord, to be in your presence and to receive the word that you have for us, Lord. I come humbly before you in obedience as your servant, Lord. Let the words I speak be only yours and all the glory to you. Amen. Have you ever seen a fellow believer and said to yourself, I want what they have? Not in the sense of material things or the way a person looks, but the light of God that you see shining through them. Their faith in God, the way they encourage people, the way God's love is like a radiance around them. If you find yourself saying, I want that, God says you can have it. He's been waiting for you. He's called you and he's called me. We're all called by God for his plan and purpose, because God is in the business of seeking followers. He's called us to first establish a relationship with him. Secondly, he calls us to holiness, which means he set us apart for his purposes. And lastly, we're called to service, to carry out his work in the world through those who are saved. In Romans 11:29, it says, "For God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn." So don't think you can get out of it, because you're stuck with it. I was reminded of a song that Nicole has sung several times in worship. It says, "You've given me life. You've opened my eyes. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. You've entered my heart. You've set me apart. I love you, Lord." God's calling us to become united with himself in every aspect of our lives. How do we do that? We pursue him. We seek after him. For through him, we'll be led directly in the way that he wants us to go. But God's not going to do it all for you. You have to make a move. And not just the one time only, for that moment only kind of move. It's an everyday, lifelong commitment to God, and you must make the choice. We don't get to pick and choose which parts of following Jesus we like the best. We can't just spend time alone with him. We must also serve others. We can't just bear fruit. We must also grow deep roots of faith and wisdom. All of these things are connected to each other, and they flow from each other. All of these things are tied together in a genuine relationship with Jesus. Following Jesus as Lord, not just hanging out with him as a friend, starts and ends with love and is filled with abiding, learning, and bearing good fruit. Be someone that others can look to and see Jesus. Colossians 1:10 says, "Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better." So we've all pursued different things in our lives. Some of them may be a new job or financial freedom, a new home, a friendship. Not that any of those things are wrong, but most important, our most important thing is to pursue God. So I have a few points tonight. First point is we need to stay grounded in the Word. Psalms 1:1-3 says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with the sinners or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither and they prosper in all they do." If you haven't already, in the near future, you'll hear my husband, Ryan, say, "You need to get connected with our YouVersion Bible app." The reason he's so passionate about it is because it'll change your life. It's changed mine. The Word of God is alive. It's a life-giving fountain, and it's the source of all hope. I know that I wouldn't be at the place that I am in my life if it wasn't for God's Word. Let me share this parable with you. I'm sure it's familiar to many who are listening. I believe when you read the parables that the Bible forces us as listeners to think. It compels us to discover the truth for ourselves. So don't just listen, but just think about, put yourself as you were sitting in front of Jesus and he's reading it directly to you, and just think on it for a moment. If I have it ready, hold on, sorry. It says, "One day Jesus told a story in the form of a parable to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. A farmer went out to plant his seed. As he scattered it across his field, some seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on and the birds ate it. Other seed fell among rocks. It began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. Still other seed fell on fertile soil. This seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. When he had said this, he called out, 'Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand.' His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He replied, 'You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, but I use parables to teach the others so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they look, they won't really see. When they hear, they won't understand.' This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. The seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message, only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. The seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, then they fall away when they face temptation. The seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and so they never grow into maturity. And the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. So what type of soil are you? Are you path soil people? Are you rock soil people? Thorn patch soil people? Or good soil people? You see, it's our responsibility to spread the seed, which is God's message. But we can't throw in the towel when some of our efforts fail, because keep in mind that not every seed falls on good soil. I pray that we'd all strive to be good soil people. We need to humbly recognize the amazing opportunity that God has set before us and begin to pursue a life with Jesus. I'm growing every day, and in my pursuit of God, I'm constantly fascinated and in awe of him. He's given me things that I never knew I wanted. He's given me such a heart to worship him, to understand his word, and to hear his voice. And let me tell you, he speaks to me all the time. Songs speak to me. I'm telling you, sometimes you just need to turn the music up in your car and not sing a word. Just let God's presence fill your car and let him speak to you through the song. The song we sang tonight, Have My Heart, that song is powerful. You deserve my full attention, nothing less than my devotion. Speak to me and I will listen and I'll give you everything. Point number two, we need to be planted in order to grow. In a church, in a family, in relationships, in wisdom, the list goes on and on. This is not the time for us to seclude ourselves from God, because we need him and we need each other. We need to be in church, worshiping, at the altar, conversing with fellow believers. Get around people who will keep you on God's course for your life, for we weren't made to do life alone. Philippians 1, 9 through 10 says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. So I think of springtime. I think of plants, flowers. I have several indoor plants in my house. I love to collect them. A plant can't grow, though, without the proper nourishment, and neither can our hearts or our souls. This is a tough one. We must remain humble and teachable. We all need accountability in our lives. Sometimes the wisdom you're looking for won't come from the still, soft voice of God. It will come in the form of a conversation with a godly mentor or the preaching of your pastor. God uses people to teach us and correct us, and we must be humble enough to receive from them. Surround yourselves with other people who are hungry for him. It's no secret that who you hang around with has an influence on you. So put yourself in a position to be influenced in a positive way by getting around godly people. Number three, we need to constantly pursue God. Colossians 2, 6 through 7 says, And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. In seeking God, we find wisdom and understanding. We need to keep growing. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Pursuing God starts with a pure heart, a heart that longs to understand the ways of the world and the God who created them. It's fueled by hunger, a hunger to receive the deep knowledge, wisdom, and revelation that only God can give. And it comes from humility, a humility rooted in the revelation of how big God is and how small we are. For a long time, I felt the need to be a strong person, not one to show much emotion. In the past year, though, God has totally turned that around. In my life in the area of pursuing God, I thought, wait a minute, I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to be strong all the time and not show emotion. And he told me, no, you don't. And in the past year, he's shown me that, and I've never been more emotional than I have in the past year. And to me, it's not a bad thing. It's something I've received with gladness. It's all a part of my pursuit towards him and the way he's working in my life. I can remember driving to Wegmans about a month ago, and I cried the entire way there. I just let go, and I let God. He's constantly revealing himself to me and stirring in my heart. Psalms 103, 11 through 13 says, "For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him." There's a new song out. It's been on the radio. It's called Sparrows by Corey Asbury. If you have a moment to listen to it, you should. This is the chorus of it. It says, "You take good care of me. You know what I need before I even ask a thing. You hold me in your hands with a kindness that never ends. I'm carried in your love no matter what the future brings." John 15, 4 through 5. And I know I'm throwing like a lot of scriptures out at you, but the Bible is my favorite book, and it's just as alive today as it was back then when it was written. So these are powerful. It says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me." This is the Lord speaking. "Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." See, your relationship with God, it never ends. It's growing every day. Who likes to grow? Who likes to be stretched? I know I do, because it means I'm gaining more wisdom that will support me in living out my calling for God. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose." In preparing this message, I was reminded of the story of Martha and Mary. Follow along with me. It should be up there. Luke 10, 38 through 42 reads, "As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home." You see, Martha was one of Jesus' friends and the sister of Lazarus. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Look, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." So there are times when I often see myself as Martha in this story. Because, I mean, if Jesus showed up at my door for dinner, it's going to be in my human nature to make sure everything is just as perfect as it can be. But that's not the point of the story. Jesus did not blame Martha for being concerned about the cooking and the chores. He was only asking her to set her priorities. It's not that Martha wasn't pursuing Jesus. After all, she gladly was welcoming him into her home. There's just a better way. There's the Mary way. And we can all do better. I know I've failed. I know I'm not perfect, but I'm made perfect through Christ and through pursuing him. I don't want to be the person that I was. I want God to keep perfecting me according to his image and his plan. Psalms 32, 7 through 8 says, "For you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you." I have a story to share. This is a story of Paul preaching in Athens, and it's in the book of Acts 17, 22 through 27. This is Paul speaking. He's standing before the council. He addressed them as follows, "Men of Athens, I notice that you are very religious in every way. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, and one of your altars had this inscription on it, 'To an unknown God.' This God, whom you worship without knowing, is the one I'm telling you about. He's the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives breath and life to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us." I don't want to give a history lesson here. I want to get right to the point of Paul's message to the people in Athens. I want to use his approach. He used examples that the people understood. and then establish common ground by making it a point what they agreed on about God, finally centering his message on the resurrection of Jesus. Take verse 23. Paul wasn't endorsing this God, but he was using it as a point of entry to the one true God so that he would get their attention so they would listen. Today, many people are lost, and it's our job as believers to proclaim the good news of Jesus to all. I find it especially important to, now as we're leading up to Easter, that we are a voice and a light in not only our community, but in the world. No new God is being introduced. It's simply that God's identity is being unveiled to those who admit, if only unconsciously, their ignorance. Today we have a Christian society, but to most people, God is still unknown. We need to proclaim who he is and make it clear what he did for all mankind through his son, Jesus Christ. We cannot assume that even religious people around us truly understand or know Jesus or the importance of faith in him. Thinking about where our world has been going on for about a year now, I get the sense that many people are distancing themselves from God. Whether they blame him for what has happened or they feel as though God doesn't see them in what they're going through. God is here, as I said in the beginning. He's here with each one of us every day, waiting for us to pursue him, to talk to him, pray to him, sing to him. He wants the best for our lives, for the rest of our lives. God is known in his creation, but he is not the creation. He is the creator. God is sovereign and in control, while also being close and personal to us. We need to let him take the wheel in our lives. Think about it for a minute. Yes, we all face trials and issues in the day-to-day, but I'm reminded of how none of those trials and issues could ever compare to the sacrifice that Jesus made, not just for me, but for us all on the cross, giving his life up for us. Amidst life circumstances, the worries of day-to-day life, our to-do list, we don't want to find ourselves becoming distant from God. We need to keep moving forward and seeking him and his will for our lives, because he has every answer to every problem we'll ever face. If you want to know what the answer is to the problem, read his word. We might not be able to see them all at this very moment or in the exact time we feel that we should, but don't give up. Don't lose hope. For even when we can't see it, he's working. And even when we can't feel it, he's working. When I look back over this past year, I think of the many ways God has grown me. I feel as though I've been pursuing him in a way that I never have before. I'm in the Word every day, and if I miss out, I feel lost. I love my family more. I'm more grateful. I have more compassion for people. You see, when we move, growth happens. You need to start somewhere. One step at a time, you'll get there. The words in the song again from Have My Heart says, "Search me until there's nothing hidden." God wants the same from us. We need to constantly pursue him, as if we're playing a game of hide and seek. We can't give up until we found him and keep finding him. No matter how hard it gets or how much we feel as though we'll never get there, keep going, keep searching. For Hebrews 11:6 says, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Point number four is my last point. It says, we need to live it out. When you choose to obey God, he will bless you. Obedience always leads to a blessing. Make it a goal to obey the Lord and watch him work in your life. You can't be on the fence post. You have to be all in. Learn what it takes to receive the blessing that he has from you. I took that from you, Ryan. God continues to pursue those who have trusted in Christ for salvation. Through his indwelling Holy Spirit, God comforts us, corrects us, and compels us, his children, to obey his word. God's word is the only stable foundation that does not shift with time or circumstance. His promises are always true. In seeking God, we are rewarded. We will receive blessing upon blessing. So my favorite book in the Bible is the book of James. Coincidentally, it was written by Jesus' half-brother. That's probably why it's my favorite. And in James 1:22-24, it says, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it." It's not enough to talk the Christian faith. He says we must live it. Genuine faith will inevitably produce good deeds. Embrace your calling and get out there and do the work that God has called you to. So I'll go through the points one more time in case you'd like to write them down. Number one, we need to stay grounded in the Word. Number two, we need to be planted in order to grow. Number three, we need to constantly pursue God. And number four, we need to live it out. I'm going to end with this scripture, Ephesians 4:1. Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. We are all called. Let's pray. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the word that you've spoken through me, Lord. I pray that it touched many people's hearts, Lord. For it's not me up here, but it's for you, Lord. I thank you that it was for me first. Thank you that you spoke this to my heart first, Lord, and then for all those that are listening. I just thank you for the work that you're doing in this place, Lord, and every family that's here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on, put your hands together for my daughter-in-law. Come on, you can do better than that. Where's my woohoo crowd? Come on. If you're not here, you don't know who the woohoo crowd is, but they're awesome. Samantha, thank you so much. Aren't we blessed? I was talking to a pastor today, and he was saying, oh, I just can't. I don't have anybody that can do what I do, and he's struggling. And I was just sitting there listening to him, and I'm thinking, I am so fortunate that if I fell over here tomorrow, just leave me for a few minutes. Make sure I'm on my way to heaven. Everything will be okay. I'm so grateful for that. And then the multitude of our Thursday night people that speak are incredible, aren't they? Come on, I said, aren't they, though? Samantha, incredible, incredible. Every time you get up and speak, I can see another notch. And I remember the first Sunday that you guys came, you stood right over there, and I looked over at those little girls. Little did I know one of those little girls would be a part of my family. And I would have two grandsons that I just love the britches off of. I love each and every one of you. I thank God for you. Those of you that are watching at home tonight, I thank God for you as well. Something that Sam said, many people are still, you're still holding up, and God wants to do something great in you. He wants to reveal himself to you. And sometimes the only way that can happen is being in a place just like this or somewhere, some house of God. God reveals such powerful moments in times like this. And so I just want to encourage all of you. I've got 10 messages to preach on Sunday, but thank God he helped with you tonight. I honed in on one this Sunday. We're going to go to another level. It's going to be incredible. Can we put our hands together one more time for Jesus tonight? Let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight for your great love and your great grace. Thank you for your servant being faithful, not only to your word, but to what you have called her to be and to do. I pray great grace on everyone here. I pray that you'd strengthen every individual, every family. I thank you for it. I pray for those that are watching online, at home, or wherever they are tonight, that your grace and your love and peace would be their portion. And for that, I give you thanks for it, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Come on, and everybody shouted big amen tonight. Love you. Lord bless you. I'll see you Sunday, 8:30, 10 right here, 12 noon, St. Anthony's. I love you. We do life together.